Has everybody been enjoying their summer sermon series brought to you by your ministry team here at Christ Cornerstone Church? I'm so glad that I missed a couple, so I'll have to catch up with you guys and see how it all went. But anyway, we're approaching the end, right? We're almost done. Has anybody been reading? Did anybody read their scripture for today? Let me just ask that. Awesome. Good job, people. Excellent. Well, this has been really fun for us, actually, and Tasha and I were talking about it yesterday, is like, this has really been kind of cool to have like a theme going out throughout the summer and have you guys do it with us and read the scriptures along with us. So today, we're going over what I think is Jesus' showstopper, John 11, where he raises Lazarus from the dead. Oh, man, I told you the end already. Bummer. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Well, there's a million different paths we could go down with this story. Has anybody heard this story before? All right, so a few people haven't, but awesome. You'll learn something today, hopefully. There's a bunch of different places that we can go, paths that we can go on this scripture. But God's given me about four different things for us to think about and look at this morning. So, and I was going to just pick out like a few scriptures, but I told Tasha, I'm like, this story's so good, I got to like read it all. So you guys want to read it with me today? All right, that's awesome. So John 11, hopefully everybody's there. We'll start at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Real quick, they were good friends. Just so you know, Jesus and Lazarus, we really don't know too much about what they did, hung out on the weekends, went to movies or whatever. But they were really, really good friends. Okay, keep that in mind. This wasn't just someone that he just kind of knew and came across. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he learned that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? There's the nervous disciples. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant his natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. They thought the reason Jesus stayed for a couple more days, and they were, well, Jesus stayed so Lazarus could pass away, obviously, and God could be glorified. But they were all nervous that Jesus was going to die. They thought he was going to be stoned at this point, so that's why Thomas is like, let's go so we can die with him. They're all nervous, but they're going to join in because they think that something's going to happen to Jesus along the way. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she sent out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection and the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So let's stop there. Kind of know what's going on here, and I want to stop at the part where Jesus says to her that he's the resurrection. Now, the thought of the resurrection or a resurrection is a concept of a living thing coming back to life after death. Okay? And Jesus is speaking on this, and we're taking it from the story that he's talking about our physical death, right? But Jesus is our resurrection to any kind of death that we may have. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever death you're in right now or whatever you've died of, Jesus is your resurrection. Jesus is your way out of that awful, nasty stuff. Jesus can provide, he said, "I'm the life." So if we need life, we don't go to anybody, or we should not go to anybody other than Jesus. He's our life. He's our resurrection and our life. We know that he resurrects us in our physicalness, okay? As far as death is concerned, he rises, he resurrects us from that. But you got to also remember, guys, every single day he can resurrect us. Every single day, no matter what you're going through, Jesus can resurrect you from that death of whatever it is. If you want a resurrection, there's your answer. Right in here. And Jesus said it in his own words, "I am that resurrection. I am the life." If you want life, a new life, and to be resurrected, go to Jesus. So reading on. Let's see. I stopped at 27. All right. So verse 28. "And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here and is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said," we've heard this before, "'Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along also with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. And Jesus wept." I know for me, most recently, this is really comforting. Because we can see Jesus here. He's fully human. And sometimes I forget that he was fully human and he had emotions and feelings. But when he saw his friend and the family of his friend weeping and mournful and sorrowful, he wept with them. They were close friends, like family maybe, I don't know. But it makes me feel good and really comforts me, and I hope it does you too, and understand this, that when we're going through rough times, when we're weeping, for whatever reason, this happens to be death, a physical death, that Jesus is our ultimate comforter because he knows what we're going through. You guys have to understand, he was fully human, so he gets it. He gets our attachments to humans, and he understands that when we go through death, what we're feeling, or whatever death that might be. And I know for me, that makes me feel loved and more at peace in times when I don't feel very good at all because I might be struggling with something like this. You guys know I've dealt with death recently, and that makes me feel good to know that Jesus has got me. And he's wrapping his arms around us. Anytime we go through something, he weeps with us. He weeps with us when we go through those things. We're not alone. And I have to remind myself of that many times also. But we're not alone when we're going through these dark, dark valleys. He's right there with us, weeping right there with us, because he knows exactly what we feel and what we're going through. Then the Jews said, reading on in verse 36, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind? Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" Then the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. So a couple different times along in this story, we see Mary, Martha, and then people in the crowd like, "Well, if this guy can heal the blind, why couldn't he raise the dead? Why didn't you get here earlier? Why didn't you get here earlier?" And in verse 4, if you go back to verse 4, Jesus says, this is all going to happen so that God would be glorified. I can imagine that Jesus is like, "Oh, but wait," like the first time, who came out first, Martha or Mary? Martha, right? But he's like, "Oh, but wait." And then Mary came out, "If you'd only been here, oh, but wait." And then the people were like murmuring, and he's like, "Oh, man, but wait. Woo, I'm going to get you. This is the showstopper right here." And this is like, to me, the ultimate comeback story. If you guys know me, I like sports a little bit. Thank you. Thank you for the confirmation. And I happen to enjoy basketball immensely. Thank you. Who gave me that? Yes. And, you know, it's cool when your team wins, right? It's awesome. But it is the best victory in the entire world when your team is down by like 40 points at halftime. They come marching back. Someone who rides the bench the whole entire season gets called up because everybody else is fouled out. There's only one person out there versus five. They throw up the last shot, and it goes in, and they win the game. Isn't that right? Those are like the best games ever. I've never seen one on five. But I have seen people before that, like, they never score anything at all, you know, and then they throw up a three-pointer at the end of the game, and it goes in. The crowd goes wild. It's like a sweet victory in that. There's just something about that. They came back. They were down and out. Everybody had written them off. The other team is celebrating, and they came back. They didn't give up. And in my opinion, this is like the comeback story of the year right here. Lazarus is dead, not one, two, three, but 4 days in the tomb. Here comes Jesus. That's right, I'm going to take this. And it goes in, and huge, sweet victory, right? He did it. He let Lazarus... He could have stopped at any point in time, jumped in and said, "Okay, Lazarus," and healed the sick. But he did it so God would be glorified and they wouldn't doubt and they would have faith and understand that God's got it no matter what. Do you guys believe that? God's got it no matter what. You know, we sing that song, what's it called? "Even if the healing doesn't come." You guys know that song? Okay. And many times people are like, "Why didn't it happen? Why didn't..." I don't know why someone didn't get healed. I don't know why you didn't get that job. I don't know why. I don't know why any of this. But you have to understand that God sees the big picture. And you have to have faith and understand that it's in God's hands and he's going to take care of it. He could be not doing certain things for you, and our human desires say, "We want this, we want this, we want this." But God may be saying, "Oh, hold on, wait a minute. Oh, hold on, wait a minute. Oh, hold on, wait a minute." He sees the big picture. We don't. We see what we want in the now or maybe in a couple weeks. Has anybody ever been to the Dolly Museum? It's awesome, right? Anybody hasn't, go. It's worth it. But on, I don't know, second or third floor, there's a painting. And if you're standing, like, right up close to it, you see just, like, little bitty pictures of stuff. But if you go all the way down to the end of the aisle, like, almost to the end of the room, pretty much, and look back at it, you see Abe Lincoln. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It's pretty awesome. That's how God sees things. Sometimes we're too close to everything, and we see little bitty pictures. But if we were to take a step way, way, way back and look, it comes together beautifully in a beautiful Abe Lincoln picture for God. It's hard for us to understand that in our little human minds, but we have to understand, and we have to come to some kind of understanding and have faith and trust that God has it. Your healing may not come on that first day or before you pass away, second, third, like Lazarus here, but it's going to come eventually in God's time with God's big picture. Okay? So at the end, this is my favorite part. He says that the last half of that last verse, let's see, that'd be 44. It says, Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And I got to thinking, the first time I read through this a few weeks ago, I'm like, oh, take off the grave clothes. What are my grave clothes? What are the things that hold me down, tie me up, and keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do or I'm fearful of? What are my grave clothes? May I have my volunteer? She was such a good pastor's wife today, won't you? Could you stand a little closer here in the middle? I hope I don't get dizzy doing this. We practiced this yesterday, so hopefully this will go without a hitch. Maybe your grave clothes are pride. Unworthiness. Lack of faith. Let's come around here. Depression. I'll get dizzy if I go around like this. Anger. Anybody held back in their grave with anger? Need a resurrection from anger? Good. I mean, not good, but you got the answer now, so it'll be easy. Pain, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. Finances. Dios mío. Someone has financial greed. I am going to get dizzy. Illness. I know some people in here that have illness. Negativity. What? Ay, Dios mío. Oy vey. Abuse. How are your grave clothes there, Pastor Tosh? Tight? Restricted. Addiction? These are just some ideas, things that just popped into my head. These things, any of these things, and many more. You guys, take a moment and think about this. What are some grave clothes that you have that you need to let go, that you need a resurrection from? Could be 4 days, 40 days, 40 years. I don't know how long you've had them. But it's time to let them go. It's time to let them go. That's right! And that's exactly how it was practiced at home yesterday. So you're like, ah! That's what we need to do with our grave clothes. The things that hold us back and hold us down, that wrap us up. And I like what Jesus says here at the end, because he says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. He didn't say, take him to the hospital, get him checked out. I need a CT scan, an MRI. He didn't say, update your status on Facebook. I knew you were all going to laugh at that one. He didn't say sit around and think about it. Let's all get together. Let's have a conference. Oh, conference call. Tomorrow, noon. We need to go over this, quick. Let's create a checklist, a spreadsheet, whatever you do with that stuff. He said one verb. Go. Don't sit around in muck and mire anymore. Take off your grave clothes, have your resurrection, and go. Go. It's that simple. We have stuff that we have to work through. Yeah, sure, of course. But go. Put one foot in front of the other and go. Do what you're supposed to. It's time as individuals in this church to do this. So whatever you're dealing with, think about it. What do you need your resurrection from today?